Hello and welcome to the NESN Patriots podcast. I'm Doug Kai, joined as always by Zach Cox. Zach, how are we doing tonight?
Doing pretty well, Doug. I'm excited for our three-hour schedule of release extravaganza. That's what this is, right? That's what we're doing?
Oh, God, I hope not. But the Patriots 2020 schedule did get released. We already knew who the Patriots were playing, but now we know when the Patriots are playing those opponents. We might as well go game by game on this. This schedule is really sort of the only game in town right now. It's a good way to sort of preview the season, get it all out there. And we'll dive into some other things a little bit later as well. But week one, the Patriots are playing the Miami Dolphins at Gillette Stadium. I did a little prediction of the Patriots schedule on NESN.com, and I had this one as a win. I think the fact that the Patriots are playing the Dolphins at home in week one is certainly an advantage for the Patriots. Curious, obviously, to see who the Patriots quarterback will be in that game, whether that is Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer. But I do think the Patriots can beat the 2020 Dolphins team at home in week one.
Yeah, I think it would be a very poor start to the season if the Patriots were not able to win this game, especially considering the opponent in the final game of last season was the Miami Dolphins at home, and they did lose that game, which basically kind of ended the Tom Brady dynasty or era, as hyperbolic as that sounds. But yeah, you're right. We don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for the Patriots in this game. Don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for the Dolphins either. Right. You assume it's probably Ryan Fitzpatrick, because with Tua Tagovailoa, his hip and the whole kind of thrown off offseason schedule, it's pretty unlikely that he'd be ready to start in week one as a rookie. So you'll probably get some Fitz magic in this game, and then potentially Tua when these teams meet up again in, was it week 15 down the line?
Yeah, I believe it's week 15. That's right. Week two, the Patriots play the Seahawks in Seattle. And you made a good point on Twitter that since this game is early in the season, if they have to play without fans, that could be an advantage for the Patriots, since the Seattle crowd is usually very raucous, one of the loudest stadiums in all of sports. The Seahawks team as a whole, not that strong, but when you throw in the CenturyLink Field crowd, that makes it a lot harder to play in Seattle. I had this game as a loss just because it's going across the country early in the season. What we've seen from the Patriots in the past, even while Tom Brady was their quarterback, was that they always sort of got off to a slow start. And I wouldn't expect that to be any different with whether it's Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer at quarterback. So this is an extremely challenging game, and I think it's probably asking a little bit too much of Stidham or Hoyer to travel all the way to Seattle and beat Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, and the Seahawks.
Absolutely. It'll be difficult regardless, given the opponent and the fact that you have to fly across the country for this game. But I do think the potential COVID-19 restrictions in this game, and then in the week four game against Kansas City, which we'll touch on in a moment, I think that was probably my biggest takeaway from this entire schedule reveal. If you can go into probably two of the toughest crowds in, not even in the NFL, in all of American sports, it's hard to think of two more kind of hostile atmospheres for opposing teams than Seattle and Kansas City. If you can play those games with no fans, I mean, it's going to be difficult regardless, because those are two pretty good teams, especially Kansas City, since they just won a Super Bowl and they have Patrick Mahomes. But that just really kind of neuters the effect neuters the challenge of having to play in those stadiums. So who knows whether that's actually going to come to pass, but it seems pretty unlikely that the NFL is going to be able to put any fans, never mind full stadiums, in stadiums in at least the first quarter or half of the season. So it seems like there's a pretty good chance that the Patriots are going to be playing in kind of scrimmage conditions in Seattle and Kansas City, which, especially if they have a inexperienced quarterback in Jarrett Stidham trying to go in and win those games, that has to favor the Patriots.
For sure, because even if fans are allowed in those stadiums, it would probably only be, what, like 10, 15,000, something like that. And obviously you can't create a fraction of as much noise with that amount of fans in the stands. Week three, the Patriots play the Las Vegas Raiders at home at Gillette Stadium. I have this one as a win. The Raiders are one of the weaker teams on the Patriots schedule, according to Vegas's over-under win totals. They have the Raiders at an over-under for 7 wins. I think that's probably pretty accurate. And this is a game where you can't expect Derek Carr to come into Gillette Stadium and win in week three against a Bill Belichick coach defense. You know, you can say what you want about the Patriots roster, but their defense should still be pretty stout this season. They've got one of the best secondaries in the NFL. Their pass rush possibly could be improved with Josh Uche and Anfernee Jennings and Brandon Copeland and everyone else. So I had this one as a win for the Patriots. So that would mean they would be starting the season at 2-1. But yeah, Patriots don't face too many of the bottom of the barrel teams. So Raiders probably should be one of the easier games on their schedule.
Yeah. The last time the Raiders came to Gillette Stadium, they lost something like 51-14, back in 2014. That was their last trip, to Foxborough, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And they played again in Mexico, which was another, pretty comfortable win for the Patriots. I don't think it's going to be quite that lopsided, but, no. I do have a hard time envisioning, Derek Carr or Marcus Mariota, whoever happens to be playing quarterback for the team at that point. I don't think that Las Vegas. I don't think the Raiders are that strong of a team. I don't really like what they did in the draft. I think they're going to be okay. They're not going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. No. I don't think, but yeah, they definitely are one of the weaker teams on this schedule.
Week four, we mentioned it earlier, Patriots are traveling to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. Another game where, yeah, it might not be a full crowd, might not be any crowd whatsoever, but I don't know. I think it's unrealistic to think that the Patriots could beat the Chiefs even without a crowd in Kansas City. This is the Super Bowl champions. Their over-under is 11.5 wins, which seems almost probably a little bit low. The Chiefs are tops in the NFL at their over-under, that being 11.5 wins. They're right above the Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers, two other teams that the Patriots play in their 2020 schedule. But, I mean, the Chiefs, I think, if anything – probably get stronger this season, because you've got to assume that Patrick Mahomes probably will stay a little bit healthier. So I certainly had this one as a loss. It's just way too much to ask this sort of inexperienced younger Patriots team to travel to Kansas City and beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs could run into some difficulties down the line once they have to start paying Patrick Mahomes, and kind of that throws off their whole roster construction. But right now they're stacked. They still have basically every prime contributor from last season is back. They got better through the draft. They got better through free agency. So yeah, this is going to be a very tough task for the Patriots, regardless of whether anybody's in the stands or whether this is a full Arrowhead crowd. It's going to be one of the tougher games on their schedule, if not the toughest.
Week five, the Patriots play the Denver Broncos. And I actually kind of like this Broncos team. I think that Drew Locke is probably a little bit better than people think, and they've really added a lot of offensive weapons around him in the draft. I still have this as a win for the Patriots. It's 1 o'clock game, week five, and the Patriots just do so well against young quarterbacks that, although I do like Drew Locke, I like the weapons that they added, a young quarterback like that on a team that has an over-under of 7.5 wins according to Vegas this season, I personally can't see them beating the Patriots in Foxborough. But I mean, one of the things that we sort of have to mention is that we don't really know what this Patriots team is going to look like this season. I mean, their over under is 9.5 wins. That might be a little bit generous just based on the fact that, you know, they lost Tom Brady. They lost some of their key defensive contributors and Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins. I think that, you know, the fact that they still obviously have Bill Belichick as their head coach, they've still got a lot of familiar faces like Devin McCourty and Dante Hightower. But I mean, a lot of these games that we're talking about, the game against the Raiders, the game against the Broncos, even the game week one against the Dolphins, I'm saying these are wins, but it's not a sure thing. None of these games are easy.
There's a lot of projection with this Patriots team, which you don't usually see. Normally it's maybe at one or two positions, they're trying to work a new guy in where they kind of had a hole last year and you're trying to figure it out. You've got projection at quarterback. You've got projection at tight end, assuming both of the tight ends that the Patriots drafted are going to play significant roles this year. You've got projections for everybody who could be replacing Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins. Even somebody like Chase Winovich played well last year, but only played about 27% of the defensive snaps, wasn't a full-time player. So if he's taking on a full-time role, that requires some projection. So there's not a lot of, I mean, outside of the secondary and probably the offensive line, as long as David Andrews is kind of fully healthy and full go, which he says he is.
Keep Joe Tooney.
Yep. And if they keep Joe Tooney, it does seem less likely that they'll trade him at this point, but it's definitely still possible. So yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty with this Patriots team, which kind of it changes the way you view some of these early season games, as you mentioned. I mean, in years past, this Broncos game would probably be looked at as, all right, well, this is Drew Lock coming in here. He had a decent year last year, but he's going to get Sam Darnolded by the Patriots defense, and the Patriots are going to win by 25. I still think I would pick the Patriots if I was picking this game right now, but that's the confidence level in making those kind of predictions is way, way down this year, just because we don't know what this Patriots team is going to look like. And I do like the Denver's offense. Denver's offense should be fun this year. I mean, they got Drew Lock, Philip Lindsay, Noah Fant, had Cortland Sutton, and they got Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler in this year's draft. John Elway's just loading up on offense, and I like it. I think it's going to be fun to watch.
Albert Okwuegbunam, Drew Lock's college tight end, also got drafted in there. So another weapon for him to play with.
Patriots have finally figured out how to say his last name when he did not go to the Patriots.
I know. Yeah, I've had that one. I really thought that was a possibility, but they did grab two good tight ends in Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene. Patriots have a week six bye. This is early, and that could certainly hinder the team if the schedule is pushed back. I mean, if it's pushed back, what, 3 or 4, even 5 weeks, their bye could be, you know, the first week of the season, very early in the season. I'm not sure what would happen at that point, but then you'd almost be talking about the Patriots potentially playing, you know, 15 games in a row, 14, 16 games in a row. That's not an ideal situation. I think that what you want this year, if you're a team, is if anything, to get a later bye just in case the season is pushed back. But coming out of the bye, the Patriots face the San Francisco 49ers at Gillette Stadium. I think that's ideal that it's coming out of the bye. I think that gives the Patriots a better chance to win this game. And I certainly think this is a winnable game for the Patriots. Ultimately, I have it as a loss. But this one was tough. I went back and forth on this one just because, I mean, Super Bowl losing teams usually have some sort of hangover. But you do still have Jimmy Garoppolo's revenge game in this one. So I think that obviously he'll be trying to play his best. Bill Belichick will be trying to play his best. You've got Kyle Shanahan. This is going to be one of the premier matchups this season for the Patriots. But ultimately, I had it as a loss just because of how talented the 49ers roster is.
Yeah, this is the most interesting game on the Patriots schedule, I think, just for the Jimmy Garoppolo factor. The fact that this is his first time coming back to Foxborough since he was traded away. I'm already envisioning Bill Belichick's praise of Jimmy Garoppolo during his press conferences going up to this game, because Belichick obviously was a very big fan of Jimmy G when he was here. I also think that there's a very good chance that Bill Belichick will find a way to kind of bait Jimmy G into some mistakes in this game, because even last year when the 49ers went to the Super Bowl, Garoppolo wasn't the kind of leader of the team. I mean, maybe he wasn't in an emotional sense, but his passing was not what kind of propelled San Francisco to the Super Bowl last year. So that'll definitely be interesting. I mean, overall, though, this 49ers team is still relatively stacked. They lost some key pieces in the offseason, but they seem to have found one-for-one replacements for all of them. They lost Joe Staley to retirement, but they traded for Trent Williams. They traded away DeForest Buckner, but they drafted Javon Kinlaw. They lost Emmanuel Sanders in free agency, and then they went out and got Brandon Ayuk in the draft. And obviously, with Kinlaw and Ayuk, those are you don't know exactly how they're going to perform. But it seems like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan did a nice job of reloading this roster, and this is definitely going to be a very difficult test for the Patriots.
For sure. And I think I reported since our last podcast that the Patriots, at least a few people in the organization, are higher on Jarrett Stidham than they were on Jimmy Garoppolo, which, I mean, based on how Jimmy Garoppolo performed in the preseason and training camp and then how Jarrett Stidham did last season in preseason and training camp, personally, I thought Stidham was better in those practices and in those preseason games than Garoppolo was as well. Obviously, Garoppolo now has gone on to become a, you know, Super Bowl contending quarterback, whereas Jarrett Stidham is now entering his first season potentially as a starter. But that game will be very interesting to see whether the Patriots are right in the fact that Jarrett Stidham is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it's certainly a possibility. I think that, if anything, Jimmy Garoppolo might be slightly overrated now, especially among New England Patriots fans, just based on the fact that the 49ers rushing attack really carried that team in the playoffs last season. Jimmy Garoppolo certainly came up a little bit short in the Super Bowl as well. He's still certainly probably a average to above average starting quarterback, but the Patriots also obviously are hoping that Jarrett Stidham can be more than that with the Patriots.
Definitely. Quick tangent for a second before we move on. What is your, in your mind, what are the, if you're handicapping the Patriots week one starter, what's your, put a percentage on it, Stidham starts, Hoyer starts, anybody else starts?
I mean, I think it's Stidham. I think that you'd be insane to have Brian Hoyer as a starting quarterback. I saw that, I think it was Christian Fourier said that the Patriots can't have Jarrett Stidham starting in week one. It's like too much pressure. I mean, rookies start in week one. I think that's crazy. I don't know why we're, I don't know. It feels like, I don't know why you would baby Jarrett Stidham. If he's better than Brian Hoyer, which he was last year. I mean, he was better in preseason. He was better in training camp. I know that Hoyer had a decent preseason, and statistically, as far as like his completion percentage went in training camp, he was decent. But I mean, you and I were both there. It was check down city with Brian Hoyer throughout training camp and preseason. And you know what Brian Hoyer is. If you're all in on Jarrett Stidham, which is exactly what the Patriots are after skipping out on Jordan Love and on, you know, Cam Newton to this point, they didn't draft Jacob Eason. They didn't draft Jalen Hurts. They didn't go after Andy Dalton. They didn't go after Teddy Bridgewater. You're all in on Jarrett Stidham. And then you're going to wait to start him until what, week three or four? That makes absolutely no sense to me. For me, it would be 100% on Jarrett Stidham. It's the Patriots, so who knows? I'd probably say like 65%, but I think that Patriots fans should have reason to be extremely angry if Jarrett Stidham has a good training camp of preseason and doesn't start in week one.
Yeah, that's actually the exact percentage I put on it when I wrote about this last week. I gave it 65 for Stidham, 34 for Hoyer, and 1% for a wild card, or Jamar Smith really comes on really strong this summer. But no, I think it'll have to be that Jarrett Stidham takes a bit of a step back, and maybe because you have seen sometimes where a guy's kind of entering as the starter and he maybe doesn't quite perform up to that level yet. I think it's a good insurance plan to have Brian Hoyer in here. And I think the Patriots view him as a safe bet that if they have any concern about Jarrett Stidham, they can say, all right, we're going to start Hoyer for the first 3 weeks. Just give Jarrett an extra couple weeks to get his reps in since he wasn't able to get him this spring. But I'm leaning toward you. I think it's, I feel like the national perspective of Jarrett Stidham is that this guy sucks and the Patriots, right, like the Patriots are screwed at quarterback. Maybe he does. There's a chance that that still happens. But I think that Jarrett Stidham is the best young quarterback to come through the Patriots in a very long time. And I do think I would be surprised if it's not him in week one. Anyway, end of tangent. We can return to the schedule here.
No, for sure. I mean, I agree with that. I think, I mean, especially since the week one is at home against Miami. I mean, I know Miami's gotten better, but you can't get an easier week one opponent on this schedule for Jarrett Stidham to face off against. But week eight at Buffalo Bills, I have this one as a loss. The Bills were 10-6 last season. They made the playoffs. Their over-under this year is 9, which I'm not quite sure why that's the case, because if anything, they probably got a little bit better this offseason. I mean, they added Stephon Diggs. I know that one player doesn't make all the difference on a team, but giving Stephon Diggs to Josh Allen is fairly significant compared to the wide receivers that they had last season. So I have this one as a loss going into Buffalo. I'll just give a spoiler alert that I have the Patriots beating the Bills at home later in the schedule, but I think that they split this year. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I think they lose one of these two Buffalo games. I think Buffalo was good last year. They came very close to beating the Patriots in Buffalo last season. They lost, 10-6 in an incredibly ugly game, or 13-10, something like that. It was the game the Patriots needed a block punt touchdown to end up winning. And they didn't even – they needed a block punt touchdown, and they needed Josh Allen to get knocked out of the game for Buffalo. Buffalo very easily could have beaten the Patriots last season. I think the Bills – got better. I think Stephon Diggs is a gigantic upgrade for their receiving core. I mean, John Brown and Cole Beasley were good. They were solid. They both had good years last year, but neither of them is a kind of clear number one. You add a clear number one like Stephon Diggs into that offense, then you can bump those two guys down to the second and third spots. I think this offense should be significantly better this year, and the Bills defense already was one of the best in the NFL last year. So this is going to be a very talented Bills team, a very tough Bills team. And like I said earlier, can't remember if I said it on this podcast or on our previous video, I would consider the Bills the favorites in the AFC East at this point, as crazy as that might sound.
I mean, you can say what you want about Josh Allen, and I've certainly said it before, but I mean, he got John Brown's best NFL season out of him last season. So yeah, I think that you could potentially see the same thing with Stephon Diggs this season as their number one wide receiver. Got the Jets in week 9. This is the only road AFC East game that I have the Patriots winning. The Jets won 6 of their last 8 games to finish out the 2019 season. I think they sort of overperformed last season a little bit, but I do see them taking a step back, even with Sam Darnold probably healthy. I mean, he missed some games with mono last season. But I think that, you know, one of these AFC East teams is going to be maybe not a bottom of the barrel team, but won't be competitive. And I sort of just see it being the Jets this year. I don't think they'll be quite as good as they were last year when they went 7-9. So I think the Patriots will sweep the Jets this year.
Yeah, in my mind, the Jets did not go 7-9 last year.
Right?
I have it in my mind that the Jets were a 4-12, 5-11 team last year for whatever reason. I guess they did came on pretty strong late in the year, yeah. But so did the Dolphins, and I'm viewing the Dolphins as a much stronger competitor a much stronger competition for the Patriots this year. Maybe it's just because I don't really like Adam Gase as a coach. I think Brian Flores has a much better shot at making his team a legitimate contender. But yeah, the fact that the Jets, I view them as the weakest team in the AFC East as well, but they were almost a 500 team last year with their starting quarterback missing some significant time. And if their kind of complete reshuffling of their offensive line works out at all this year, and I mean, I still don't really like their receiving core, but if either of those kind of changes work out, you could see some improvement from them. So there aren't going to be any pushovers in the AFC East this year. It's the first time in a very long time, basically for almost the entirety of the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady era, that there's not a clear, like, terrible team in the AFC East. Normally there's 2 or 3 clear terrible teams in the AFC East. This is a year that I can see 3 or maybe even 4 teams entering that final stretch on pace for 8-8, 9-7, 10-6 record. And I think this is a divisional battle that's going to come down to the last couple of weeks.
I think the Jets still have a chance to be that pushover.
They can be that bad, but the fact that they were 9-7 and they still have their, and the fact that you can make a case for them being a kind of fringe divisional contender,
right?
I think we haven't said in a while. Yeah,
they certainly are a contender. I feel like by the end of the season. And maybe I'm way off on this, but I could see them being 4-12 and be like, meh, yeah, that sort of adds up on paper with Adam Gase and all the issues they've had with Jamal Adams. And there was the Le'Veon Bell trade rumors early in the season. Not great to piss off your best players, and that seems to be sort of what they were doing early in this offseason.
Yeah, but if anybody falls apart, it's going to be the Jets, I would say.
Patriots face the Ravens at home in week 10. Just the fact that this game's at Gillette Stadium, I think it's going to be a very good game. But it all just sort of depends on how all those question marks about the Patriots that we were talking about earlier go by this point. Because, I mean, I think the Patriots can win this game. But if all those question marks, go negatively, I guess I would say, for the Patriots, then this could easily be a game that the Ravens could, you know, demolish the Patriots. But you got Lamar Jackson, quarterback. As far as over-under win totals go, the Ravens are the second-best team in the NFL this season. So I have this down as a loss. But this was sort of a coin flip for me. I just couldn't justify having the Patriots beat the Ravens since they were so good last season and since they're expected to be so good again this year. But this is a Sunday night game, so that'll certainly be a fun matchup.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Ravens fare this season, considering that I think they kind of took a lot of people by surprise last year, just with how well Lamar Jackson played and how kind of punishing that offense was. I know they did a little bit of that at the end of the 2018 season, but they didn't really reach the heights that they reached last year until week 5, 6, 7. And then they were kind of a freight train until the divisional round. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the Patriots defense adapts to a game like this, because if they struggled to do anything last year, it was stopping the run. I mean, they struggled against Baltimore. They struggled against Tennessee. They even struggled against Joe Mixon at times and Nick Chubb and Ezekiel Elliott. When they played the teams that had these better rushing attacks, they weren't really kind of constructed to stop that, just with the way that their front seven was composed. So I'm going to be interested to see how that changes this year, what kind of adjustments Bill Belichick and Gerard Mayo and everybody in that room makes to a game like this. And then even earlier in a game like the 49ers game, when you're going to be facing another team that has a really powerful rushing attack. Because typically when Bill Belichick finds his team's clear weakness, he goes out of his way to kind of remedy that for the next season. So I think that's going to be one big thing to watch for the Patriots defense this year.
I think that something the Patriots did do this offseason, especially in the draft, is add size and speed in Kyle Duggar and Josh Uche. And this isn't something that I considered when the Patriots drafted them, but you've got a guy in Kyle Duggar who's 6'1" or 2", 220 pounds, who runs a 4.4 40. You've got Josh Uche, who's 6'1", 245. He didn't test at the combine, but I mean, there's a clip of him chasing down a wide receiver at Michigan. So I think that they did add a lot of speed in the middle of their defense in those two players. And who knows, they might have done that with facing Lamar Jackson in mind, because those are two guys who might not specifically spy Lamar Jackson, but they can certainly keep up with him athletically if Lamar Jackson does take off.
Yeah, there's a notable clip from the Penn State game last year that Josh Uche played in. He had the one that you mentioned where he ran down the field with KJ Hamler, but he had another one later in the game where he was either spying or reacting to a quarterback scramble, and you just see him come out of nowhere and lay, I think it's Sean Clifford, the Penn State quarterback, and just smash him in the backfield, chase him down. It's, you watch him on tape, especially compared to Anthony Jennings, who's more of a kind of a bigger sort of power run defender guy. And Josh Uche's speed really pops there. So I can definitely see the Patriots having something, a matchup like this in mind when they drafted him, because a guy like Jamie Collins, who's very athletic, but he really struggled in that kind of role against Lamar Jackson last year. So it'll be interesting to see if they use Uche to kind of remedy a little bit of that issue.
As an aside, we've been doing our draft pick film reviews this week. Anthony Jennings might be one of the slowest like linebackers I've ever seen.
It's play. Crazy, right?
He didn't run a 40. He was projected at a 4.78. I think that's extremely generous. Maybe he was saving energy on some of these plays, but like he actually moves pretty well, like moving backwards in space. He doesn't, like, when you see like Chandler Jones drop back in coverage, or the few times that, you know, Trey Flowers had to drop back in coverage, they looked very uncomfortable doing it. Anthony Jennings looks fairly comfortable going backwards, but if he's running straight line, like it looks like a normal player jogging. It's like actually bizarre. He's a good player, good run defender, good pass rusher, moves pretty well in short spaces. But if he's asked to run more than like 15 yards, it looks like he's running in sand, basically.
It's crazy. It's always in like downfield pursuit type situations. It's as soon as he turns, it does look like he's moving in slow motion. And it's crazy because you mentioned how he's a good pass rusher. I watched his game against LSU last year, and there were two plays where he just came off the ball and completely toasted the tackle in front of him. He had really good get off, really explosive, got to Joe Burrow in about less than a second. It was remarkable, and then you see him running downfield, and he looks like a completely different player. Very, very kind of very strange player to evaluate. But for what we think the Patriots are going to do with him, he's probably going to be more of a John Simon type, who's on the edge, mostly not going to be moved around and asked to kind of cover large areas of field nearly as much as Josh Uche, who, as we mentioned, is considerably fleeter of foot.
Yeah, I mean, putting Anthony Jennings in coverage against one-on-one against a running back or tight end is a disaster waiting to happen. So I think they will have him as sort of an uphill player or a downhill player, I should say. The Houston Texans, week 11. Texans could be a mess this year. They're projected over-under, or their over-under win total is 7.5 wins. That's considerably lower than I think that I sort of thought they would be, but they don't have DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver anymore. They've still got Deshaun Watson, but it just sort of feels like this could be a team where the wheels just completely fall off. and then they're starting over at head coach and GM and sort of everywhere moving forward. So this was a tough one, but I had this as a win for the Patriots, despite the fact that it is in Houston. I just sort of feel like this is a disaster waiting to happen for the Texans this year.
Yeah, as soon as the schedule was released, I did kind of a quick game-by-game rundown, just a few thoughts on each game. And I struggled to combine all of the Texans' thoughts into this into one kind of 50-word little blurb, because they are kind of a mess. And you can see the potential for a kind of team mutiny at this point, because according to reports, the team and Deshaun Watson were not happy with the DeAndre Hopkins trade. And Bill O'Brien has just made some weird decisions over the last couple of years now. And the Texans have always been competitive. They've always been kind of in that they're typically in the playoffs. They're usually in that 10 win range, but they haven't been able to reach over the top and become legitimate Super Bowl contenders. And at some point, I think it's just going to crack, even though they still do have one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL and Deshaun Watson. They got a lot of good wide receivers. They got Brandon Cooks now. So they still have some talent on this team, sure. And they've got some talent on defense as well. But yeah, I think this will be a kind of a return to the norm here. The Patriots typically have a lot of success against the Texans, against Bill O'Brien. They weren't able to beat them last year down in Houston after basically half their team missed 3 or 4 practices with the flu. I think this is a Patriots win as well.
Next, the face-off against the Arizona Cardinals. This is a team that a lot of people seem to have high hopes for, but it's at Gillette Stadium. I have the Patriots beating the Cardinals, one of those reasons. Young quarterback in Kyler Murray coming to Gillette Stadium, that's usually not good news for that young quarterback.
No, this is a game I'm excited to watch, though. I think we were talking a couple months ago. I feel like I watched about 35 seconds of Arizona Cardinals football last year. They just never happened to be – it seems like they were never even on red zone. They right. just – they kind of operated on a different sphere from my football watching, but they do have Kyler Murray, who's the rookie of the year last year. They've got Cliff Kingsbury. They added DeAndre Hopkins. They've got some good young players. They got some good old players. Larry Fitzgerald is still kicking around. So they've got a lot of talent on offense. They just added Isaiah Simmons on defense through the draft. So a lot of talent on this team, a lot of young talent. Should be fun to watch. I think they'll have a difficult time coming into Gillette and beating the Patriots, regardless of how this Patriots team looks. But this should be a sneaky fun game. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a random kind of 43-37 game that kind of pops up out of nowhere. It should be fun to watch.
Patriots then go to LA for back-to-back games against the Chargers and Rams December 6th and 10th. Very short turnaround there, but if you're going to have a short turnaround, you might as well stick in LA for those 4 days. That's certainly what the Patriots will be doing. I had the Patriots beating the Chargers simply because it's probably either going to be Tyrod Taylor or Justin Herbert at quarterback for LA this season. I don't think that either player is much of a challenge. I have them losing to the Rams, but that was sort of a coin flip as well, because I don't think the Rams are going to be very good this season, but short turnaround in LA, Patriots have to stay out there. I just sort of see them splitting that LA series between those two teams.
I almost view the staying out there as a benefit for them rather than having to come back out there again.
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
they do still have to make 2 West Coast trips because they're going to Seattle early in the season. But the fact that they can play these 2 games in December, so there hopefully won't be a chance of this part of the schedule getting kind of messed up from coronavirus mm-hmm. stuff. So it's kind of set in stone there. You get to go to LA, only have to stay there for probably 5 days, maybe. Don't have to do the entire week there. And then you get to come back and get a 10-day rest after that West Coast trip. I think that lines up pretty well for them. I think the Chargers and the Rams are both going to be probably in playoff contention. They're going to be in probably the 9-7, 10-6 range. Maybe a little bit worse if the quarterback situation in either spot isn't really up to snuff. But yeah, these will be tricky games, but I think the setup of the schedule actually does the Patriots some favors here.
I would agree. Final 3 games at Miami and then the Bills and Jets, both at Gillette. I have the Patriots losing to the Dolphins just because they do struggle so much in Miami. And then I have them beating the Bills and the Jets in week 16 and 17. And who knows? I mean, those games could be deciding the AFC East. So I had the Patriots finishing the season with a 9-7 record. I could easily see that being 10-6 or 8-8 because of some of those coin flip games that I threw in there. But this probably is not going to be a year where the Patriots go 12-4 like you could pretty much project for the last 20 seasons. They're probably going to take a step back this year.
Yeah, those last three games are going to be a lot more meaningful, I think, than they have been in recent years. Now, obviously, the Patriots, the games down the stretch were meaningful last year because they ended up getting knocked out of the two bye spots and had to play in the wild card game. But it wasn't a kind of full division free-for-all for that AFC East title. I think it could be. I think all four teams, as I mentioned earlier, could at least be in contention when those final three weeks start. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. It's rare that they finish the season with three straight division games. Yeah. I looked it up. They haven't done that since 2014. They typically do backload some of those games, but there's usually a random non-division game thrown in there. They also have two Monday night division games this year, which is interesting. They play on Monday night against the Jets earlier in the season, and then that late season Buffalo Bills game is a Monday nighter as well. So it's the season's going to be decided in these last three games, whether that's the Patriots continuing their AFC's dominance or somebody else finally coming in and sort of knocking them off the throne. It's going to be a fun last stretch of the season, I would say.
One final note, the Patriots and Bucks only overlap twice this season. I think it's in week 15 and week 17. So
very smart.
Those Brady / Patriots fans will be able to kind of keep track of both of their teams. But it's also going to be fascinating to watch Brady and the Bucks this season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was a little surprised that they didn't put Brady in a primetime slot in week one. He actually doesn't have a primetime game until, what was it, week five or so, or week six?
Yeah.
It's a little ways into the season. I'm actually trying to find the Bucks schedule right now, and I could not find it. But yeah, they actually have a lot of marquee matchups down there too on that schedule. They obviously play the Saints. He's going to have a game against Patrick Mahomes. He's going to have a game against Aaron Rodgers. They could be playing the Lions every week, and it would be interesting because it's Tom Brady, it's Rob Gronkowski on a new team trying to see what they can do outside of the Patriots battleship. It's going to be fascinating, and I think the schedule makers were very smart to sort of maximize that New England viewership for those games by not having them compete with each other.
And Brady has kind of struggled historically against Drew Brees and the Saints and against the Carolina Panthers, but he is 6-0 against the Atlanta Falcons. I'm sure many of you remember the Super Bowl win over the Falcons when the Patriots came back 28-3. But that will do it for this week's NESN Patriots podcast. Like I said, 9-7 this season. You can buck that one. But very interesting to know when the Patriots are playing all the opponents that we already knew. Keep it on NESN.com for all of your Patriots coverage, both schedule, draft, all those things. Like I said, we're doing a bunch of draft film reviews. After that, we'll be doing undrafted film reviews. So keep a lookout for those. Follow Zach on Twitter @ZachCoxNESN and follow me on Twitter @DougKine.